thank you for your presence in our midst today, your mighty presence, your awesome presence. We give you praise. Can we wave our hands to him in appreciation? Oh Father, we thank you. Thank you for being here before us and for visiting us. We give you praise and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worship. Somebody put your hands together for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Let me speak your heart. You are like another message. What's going on in this church? If you said that in your heart, raise up your hand. Thank you. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, when God wants to bless you, he blesses you indeed. He does not hold it back. Hallelujah. Who knows what I'm talking about? He doesn't hold back. When God wants to make you what he wants you to be, he does it without reservation. God bless you, set of voices. That was a powerful song. That was a powerful ministration. And let me make a confession. Yesterday when you were rehearsing, I was like, oh God, I would have loved to rehearse with you and sing with you. But I was like, they will be saying, ah, this woman of God, what is she doing in our midst? But you watch her minister. So I sat. I kukuma sat down. But man, you know, after your ministration, I was like, let me look up. I asked for your name. They said, Seda voice. Abajo. And I had to look. See, I don't want to just make you proud. I want you to know that you did what you were supposed to do. Can we put our hands together for the choir? God bless you, Seda voices. And I looked up the meaning of cedar. You know, I know that cedar is a tree. But you know, I never once searched for what it was. And I discovered that it's an evergreen tree. Always green. And no part of cedar is wasted. Even the dry cone, we use it. It's much sought after. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, they are ever resourceful. I don't know where you got that song from, but man, it was powerful. So God does not reserve. When he's dealing with you and he wants to bless you, he does it without reservation. What he does is, that is why the Bible says, thou set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God will not take you to one corner and say, yeah, start eating the food that I've prepared. He will stand you in front of everybody that has told you that you are not going to become and say, Omo, sit down and begin to chop. And when he does that, it's not only the food that he will give you, the one you did not ask for. That's why the Bible says that more than we can ever ask or think or imagine. So he sets the table before you and he puts you in the midst of people and says, child, begin to rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you wondered why the second message is, because God wants to set more table. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to really, before the time is going already, I don't like timers. But bless God. In a particular church, I prayed on the timer. Ah, timer. A miracle happened. What actually happened was that they had mercy on me. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to appreciate the pastorates of this church for having us all the way down from Ado Ekiti. This is home, man. I fell at home. Conveniently, as if this was church. And that's how every house of God should be. When you get there, when you fellowship in a place, you know that you are in your father's house. This is my father's house. It's my father's house, so... Praise the name of the Lord. And I want to appreciate you also for celebrating my husband with me yesterday, and celebrate my husband for bringing me down. You know, it was a sacrifice. The Lord will bless each and every one of us in Jesus' name. This yesterday, I must say this. Mommy, I'm sorry. Mommy, I will tell you. Thank you, ma. She fed us until we were fed up. Amen. And I told her I will retaliate powerfully. Amen. So yesterday, we were talking about the glory of the daughters and sons of Zion. And I made mention, I believe, that God has a glory on each and every one of you. And that is what the devil is after.
If you are having any problem, if you are facing any challenge, I just bless the name of the Lord for the word that came out from the pastor today. In my heart, over, you know, towards the end of yesterday and this morning, I was like, some people are going through depression. You know, it just flashed, but I never thought of it. I never, you know, took thought to it. Anytime you are passing through something that seems bigger than you, it's because you carry something bigger. And the devil is like, this will go. You know, in some churches, they say, omologo. You are a bona fide omologo. Omologo personified. Authentic omologo. It is not a counterfeit. You carry a glory. And that was why I established yesterday when I was ministering, when Pastor Evangelist Prophet, amen, Shalauki, you know, laid a foundation and I built on it. I wrote pastor when I was writing your note. And when you said evangelist, I quickly changed it. Praise God. That you carry a glory. And if you are going to be sincere with yourself, when you carry something that the world is looking after, you protect it. Hello? Now, if I'm going to give you money and I say, I love the way you have ministered choir. Choir leader, God bless you. And I saw the way you related with your daughter. Your daughter, right? I loved it. Was it your daughter that came here? That brother, and she kept coming, and you did not chase her away. I love that. God bless you. If I say, okay, I love the way you led the choir. Please, can you take some pounds? I don't want to give you dollars. I want to give you some pounds. And I ask you to open your purse, and I put some pounds there. Brother, when you are going upstairs to pick something, will you drop that purse? For where? If it was maybe like 200, 300, 1,000, you say, but our money will grow value too. You will hold the purse by your side. If somebody passes beside you, you will look at the purse. That is how we are supposed to protect the glory of God upon our lives. God has given you an authority. God says, I carry glory. Go and display the glory. I want you to be somewhere and they know that I am there. I want you to knock and say, who is that? You say, God. That is what God intends for each and every one of you. But that is why the devil, the bad, bad devil, was going all about. The Bible says he's looking for whom to devour. Don't be a victim. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a victim. What you are supposed to devour must not devour you. You are supposed to roar. The Bible says it's going about doing what? Roaring. You have the lion of the tribe of Judah inside of you. That is why I like Dunsi Onyekan's song. You roar back at the devil. What is he talking about? You can try that when you go to UI at the zoological garden. Stay very far from the cage of the lion. Let the lion roar, you to roar back. But don't go near it. But that's what God wants us to do. That when the devil, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. What are you doing? What are you saying? Nibolotin botu lokulon. And that's what. So if you are doing less, if you are playing your game less, you are not giving God glory. You are wasting resources. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop wasting resources. Let the light shine. So this morning, briefly, I have just 15 minutes more, but I believe God that a miracle will happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Join your faith with me. Amen. So we are talking about the characteristics of the sons and daughters of Zion. I don't know why. It's as if me and evangelist, we compare notes and say, okay, oh yeah, I will say this. I don't know. Where it ends is always where it starts. But that's the Spirit of the Lord. Characteristics of the sons and daughters of Zion. Those of us that have given our life, we have been dedicated our life to Christ. Those that came out yesterday, those that came out this morning. After that, what next? You begin, because God is now inside of you, you begin to show something. You have some characteristics that you must begin to emit. Some things that you must begin to do. Your life must begin to reflect something. Number one. The first thing, the first characteristics of the sons and daughters of Zion is that they reflect Christ. I said it yesterday, that when you, it's like, you know, you look at him, the more you look at God, the more you become like God. until they can no longer recognize you. Those who were around yesterday, you saw my children. Which one looked like me? The boys. Amy.
Praise God.
You know, when I gave birth, the firstborn was not like me at all. Manasseh was not like me. He was like his dad. The second one was like me, hook, line, and sinker, the boy. But all of a sudden, they said, the girl is not like me. There was a time we went to the market, you know, and we were holding hands, walking. We wanted to cross. We were holding hands. She was clinging to me. And one stranger out of nowhere said, do you think your mother is running away? And both of us looked at one another. I said, oh, join you. She said, me, join you. Do you know that they also say that when a man and a woman marries, it comes to a time they begin to resemble one another? Because now you begin to fight. Babe lojo, money ye lojo, babe lojo, ye lojo. It may cause a fight. And eventually you end up and conclude that the mother and the father have resembled one another. That is how you're supposed to be. You walk in Christ. You move with him. You read his word. You worship him such that you become like him. Enoch was not, because God took him. He went and he never came back. He entered into a glory. This morning when we worship, the glory came down. Praise the name of the Lord. So you reflect Christ. Philippians 2 verse 5 says, have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ. It is not a plea. It is not begging. It is a command. Have. This is it. And have means you have the ability to collect. Have means it is yours by right. Have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ. So what do? You look for Christ and say, sorry to use this word, bros, Jesus. What attitude is in you? Say, okay, I don't lie. Oh, wow, I ain't gonna lie. What attitude is in you? And where do you get it? You get it to the word. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you know that if your father calls you on the phone, you don't need anybody to tell you that he's your father? Or does he need to be saying, daddy alone sorrow? Immediately you hear his voice, daddy, I need to ask you calling. How are you, sir? That's how it's supposed to be. You get so much into him that you begin to reflect him. John chapter 13 verse 15 says, for I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. You reflect that thing which you have believed. If you profess Christ, where is he in your life? Hello? Where is he in your life? It is not enough, and that's what we established yesterday. It is not enough for you to put up your dress. God bless you, those of you up there. We love you. Hallelujah. You know, you just don't put up your dress and say you are going to church. Then you become churchy. When I gave my life to Christ, my parents were attending Cherubim and Seraphim. That was my parental church. But in secondary school, I joined the school fellowship, the SCM. You know, and I started attending. I'd given my life to Christ, you know, when I was in Form 1. And you know the way they tie scarf in those days? Thank God I'm an SU member. Bona fide SU member. Now, you know, we will tie the scarf and it will cover our hair. So one day my parents look at me, especially my dad. Say, it was on the scarf, we then tie it on Boeti by. But in actual fact, in those days, if you tie it, as my own interpretation, if you tie it and it doesn't cover your hair, you are not holy. So we tie it and it covers the hair very well. So that we not hear where we are not supposed to hear. Praise the name of the Lord. But no, it is not in the tying. It is not in the tonguing. It is not in the shabak. It is not in your sweet voice. Choir, God bless you. The devil sings better. In case you do not know, the Bible says that his whole body was constituted of what? Instruments. So it's not in your voice. It's not in the, I surrender. That is not going to get you anywhere. You reflect Christ and you do it in a lot of ways. You do what Christ has done. Otherwise, you are none of his. There is a song that says, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's an old SU song. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Amen. I know a lot of us don't know it. Hallelujah. Number two, characteristics of sons and daughters of Zion. Good conduct. Philippians 1:27 says, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Conduct yourself in a manner that when I see you outside, I will not be ashamed to call you my church member. Is somebody hearing me this morning? Conduct yourself in a manner that when I see you, I will be able to open the door of my car and say, oh, come in. Conduct yourself in a manner that I will not look at you and say, is this a child of Belial? Let me talk here to some of our ladies, if you permit me, Pastor Ed. Ladies, so those of us that make up, I think I do. I don't make over. You know, there's a difference. There's one that changes you completely. There's one that just adjusts what you have on your face. Hallelujah. And you do your hair. You have the freedom. And I bless the name of the Lord for the freedom that the church has given you to express yourself. It's good. But you see, it is not good when outside you are glowing and inside you are full of dead men's bones. It's not worth it when you have made up your face and you are perfectly set. Yes, your heart is not set seeking the Lord. You are supposed to reflect what you have on the inside. Is anybody getting me this morning? What you have on the inside. I used to have a teacher when I was in secondary school. Reverend Mrs. Kolawole of Kaode Kolawole in Ibadan. She was my teacher when I was in secondary school. She was a BK teacher. I actually went to retake in that school to tell you that I did not make my WAEC once. Come and beat me. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, and she was our fellowship teacher. And she, I don't know how God graced that woman. But anytime you see her, she's always smiling. Mommy doesn't use, you know, she's an SU personified. And she, with her cap, she'd just be going, how are you? She's our teacher, but she was our friend. I saw her more than a teacher. She made an impact in my life that she herself does not really know. And, you know, smiling, even when you offend in the class, the way she will correct you, you will be ashamed that you have offended her. And I didn't know that I carried, I'm talking of conduct, conducting yourself. She never opened her mouth to say this. Yes, I was a Christian, but there was never a time she sat me down and said, okay, oh, then you read the book of Genesis to Revelation. No, but her life depicted something. There was a glory that came out that was much more than Mary Kay. A glory that came out of her lip that was much more than a lip gloss. And 2 or 3 years ago, I met her in Feast of Esther. She was just sitting there. After I left secondary school, can you imagine? I left secondary school in, don't worry, praise God, so that you not begin to calculate my age. And I saw her in Feast of Esther sitting down. I ran to her, knelt down, put my head on her lap and said, Mommy! Oh, it was an emotional period for me. She was trying to remember, and suddenly she remembered, because I was the fellowship president. Suddenly she remembered, you know, and we had a wonderful time. And I discovered that I patterned my life unconsciously after her. She was a school teacher. I was a teacher. She was mastering at the school fellowship. I was in charge of my school fellowship. The way she will, you know, in my class, if you are in my class when I was teaching, if I rebuke you in the class, I will ask you, I can even beat you in the class. Then I will ask you to carry my lesson note and follow me to the office. On our road, we will make up. I will say some things, you will smile. We will become friends. You will forget about the beating and remember the words that I have spoken. I didn't know that I unconsciously patterned my life that has. That is what God is expecting. And that was why Pastor was saying the other time that you become what? Streetwise evangelist. Not even opening your mouth, but people look at you, they see your conduct, and you know that you have been with Christ. You have spent time in his presence. The way you are behaving, this is Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Colossians 4, 5 to 6 says, conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders. Towards outsiders. And there I want to talk to us youths. Be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. See, anytime you are in an unequal yoke with an unbeliever, you have disgraced your sister, you have disgraced your aunt, you have disgraced your mother, you have disgraced me. Because when they eventually look at me, they will look at me with the same eye they are looking at you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You are not living for yourself. The Bible says you are not your own. You have been what? You have been bought with a price. Salvation is free, but it was expensive. It came at a price. Came at a price. So when you are walking alone and when you are going in the middle of the night or you are meeting in one corner with that guy and you say, I just want to go and we just want to go and have shawarma. Yeah, we have shawarma. Maybe you are here. Olorun je ki bi ko je pa yin. The food, anything that you can easily prepare in your own home that will eventually pass out of your body. Shawarma, chicken and chips. And that was what they said Esau, what? Esau did for a morsel of bread, for a pottage, a meal. A meal that immediately he finished eating, he will get hungry again before he goes to bed. He sold his birthright. Don't sell your birthright on that platter. Forget about the shawarma. Anytime you are going out with a man that you're not supposed to go out with, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Mama Otoye is beside you. Pastor is also beside you. So when if you begin to live life as if you are alone, I can do whatever I like. It's my life. It's not your life. We own the life together. Jesus owned that life and he handed it over to us to keep. So we will not look at you going and say, okay, I'm a bye-bye. To bati dele ko pe mi. Iro, I don't learn it. So you got to bati she nibe. You have done it to each and every one of us. That's why the Bible talks in a place about crucifying the Son of God afresh. How would you do that? My prayer is that you will break even. You will break off. You will break through. I didn't hear any amen. You will break even. You will break off. You will break through. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Then concerning good conduct, I say you conduct yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. Conduct yourself in the household of God. Don't behave yourself unseemly. We have brothers. That's why, thank God, Pastor said it yesterday. Our daddy said it yesterday. If you have a sister in mind, you have prayed about it, and you want to approach the sister, what do? You contact the pastorate of the church. It's not that you go, Sister Tony, are you going home? Let me go with you. Hold on, my number here. Let me escort you. I say, there, by the time you give Sister Tony the impression that you are very, very much interested in her, suddenly you say, Sister Tosi. You abandon Sister. Sister Tosi, I love the way you smile. And the head of that Sister Tosi will woo. That is not a good way to conduct yourself. Brothers, I'm talking to you. Come and beat me. I'm talking to you because a lot of us, it happens so much in the church. I shared with the ladies yesterday that I fell prey to that kind of a thing. But God delivered me. Praise God. He delivered me, especially when the brother is tongue-talking and, you know, I say, hallelujah, glory to God. Is your stomach pain? But it seems as if your stomach is paining you. God Almighty, the healer of man, the Lord heals you. The Lord delivers you. I say, that brother is good. It happened to a sister like that. And unfortunately, it really landed her in trouble. But we are believing God and God is bringing her out. And what the brother did was that he prayed for her. She had a tummy ache that has been lasting. He prayed for her and she was healed. And do you know, to cut the long story short, that brother did all he could do, transported himself to the house of the sister, and they started living together in the hostel. And he was messing her up. And the lady was like, hey, but he prayed and miracles happened. He prayed and this happened. You will not fall victim in Jesus' name. Number one was to reflect Christ. Number two was that you conduct yourself. You have good conduct. Number three, characteristics of sons and daughters of Zion. I should round up in 5 minutes. Sons and daughters of Zion, you are full of grace. John 1 verse 14 says, reflect the glory of the one and only Son, who himself is full of grace and truth. You are full of grace. You are gracious. When I see sisters that are gracious, I bless God for their lives. I've met some few people. There's a particular young girl, that attended the sisters' plenary session yesterday. She was the youngest amongst us. I think she's in primary school. I've forgotten her name. She told me her name. And after the service yesterday, she came into my front and knelt down. And I was like, oh, so sweet. If you're in the service, if you know her, please let her see me after the service. Is that so sweet of you? You know, I greeted her full of grace. And this morning, by the time I got to church and we finished prayer, she came to the back and knelt down. Can I go with her? Pastor, can I borrow your daughter? Praise the name of the Lord. Full of grace. You need to be full of grace that you will leave pastors out. Some of you, the reason why you will never visit pastors out by the time you... Should I round up now? They say time is up, sir. Maybe if they remove it. Thank you, sir. Please remove it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I was beginning to get jittery. All right. See, I've forgotten what I wanted to say now. Hallelujah. Amen. So number four, sir. Yes, gracious. Yes. Number four, characteristics of sons and daughters of Zion. You must be sexually pure. I don't have to belabor that. That has been said over and over again. Sexually pure. Purity. Pastor said it yesterday. That is one of the glory that we carry. It's the strength that we carry. Purity. When you are impure, you are contaminated. When you are impure, a virus has entered your body. A spiritual virus has entered your body. Then your system will no longer work correctly. When you type A, it will show you Z. That's just the long and short of the whole matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13b. We all know what is that. So it is not your commitment to purity sexually. It's not a one and for all, once and for all thing. It's something you do every time. It requires a constant renewal. You know, the Bible says in the Job, it says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I will not look lustfully at a girl. You make it every time. Thank God you came out. Thank God you professed it. But every time you make sure that you say it again. Every day you renew is a constant commitment. Sexual purity, constant commitment. And I said yesterday that God is not saying no. God is saying not yet. Hello? Isn't it good enough? It's good enough. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Even as a married woman, you guard your heart. After dressing up seriously in the house, your husband did not say, dear, you are looking good. But you get to the office and your boss says, Mrs. Ologunde, Aisha man, you're your Joshua. And in your heart, you are like, man, it appreciates me. Tuesday morning, the same thing. You dress your best. You are even asking your husband, as I asked my husband, please help me see. And you did not even say, I love your shape. And I get to my place of work, and the same boss that said it, it did not happen to me, I'm just saying, you know. The same boss that said it now looks at you and say, Olorun parise si yin lara. If you are not careful, if you are not guarding your heart with all diligence, on Wednesday, you will dress for him. You no longer dress for yourself. You no longer dress for your husband. You will dress for your boss. And if you come in on Wednesday again, on Thursday, you will go to the market and buy a new dress. That means you have war. It will enter one chance. Why? Because you did not guard your heart with all diligence. So it goes for all of us. If you want, Pastor has said a lot of things about sexual purity, you need to guard your heart with all diligence. And I'm going to talk about this fifth one. A child of Zion, a son and a daughter of Zion, they are appropriately attired. Is that grammar big? Appropriately dressed. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. The Bible says your outward adorning should be a reflection of your inner beauty. Thank God for the gold. Be gold inside before you use gold outside. Otherwise, you are a fake. Thank God for everything that you are doing. But make sure that you have enough spiritual energy to carry it. And let me say here and say it without reservation. It is not everywhere the world tilts to that a child of God tilts to. Now, they don't longer say relationship, they say dating. There's nothing like dating in the scriptures. In the scriptures, what do? You pray to God, God shows to you, and you know, you wait, you confirm. That's what is in the Bible. You don't date. In the world, what they do is that you date this person, then as you are dating them concurrently, at the same time, you now look for the one that is most appropriate. Is that what you are doing? It's wrong. That's not the standard of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So it is not everywhere the world teaches you that you tilt to also. We are supposed, like I said yesterday, to make a difference. We are supposed to make a mark. Let them look at us and want to be like us. Everybody in the world is wearing white over black. Wear white over black. Wear yours black over white and do it with class. You don't have money to buy much. I don't know. You said they have Bend Down Boutique here. Do you know a Bend Down Boutique? You know Bend Down Boutique. You don't have enough money to go to a store. Go to iron your clothes properly. Thank God for starch. It is very cheap. Starch it very well. Iron it. Put it on and walk in the streets of gold. Walk to your classroom as if you are walking on the streets of gold. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So let your adorning be that of the inner man, of a meek and quiet spirit. Put on the beauty of God. Develop your inner man, your spirit. This church has a lot of resources for you. Before I go today, I will visit the resource center. I heard a lot about, I don't know why they did not take us there. Next, when next we have a program, the sisters will go there. They say the place is very beautiful. You have a resource here. Make use of it. God planted you here for that purpose. God planted, he rooted you here. Make sure you don't graduate without getting every single thing that this church can offer you. Amen. And finally, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16, that this outward man that you are adorning, they perish day by day. Come to our estate, you will see old men. Men who have built duplexes that have vacated their house for the past 1 year. You will see a man and a woman that is just working like this. I said, Daddy, Ekpeleo, I want any mommy errorao. This body that we are taking on, the Bible says every day it is going down. Now I cannot read my Bible. See, this one is just blank without my glasses. Praise the name of the Lord. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. If your outward man is getting old, your inner man is getting younger. That's what the Bible means, getting younger. You are getting more. You are developing more. You are taking more. You are absorbing more. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you rise up on your feet and begin to ask God, God, I want more. I want more, more. They've been talking about more since we got here. Can you raise up your voice, every person under the sound of my voice, and ask God, God, I want more. If you have more, I want it. Is somebody praying in the house this morning? I want more. Give me the more that you have. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want to look beyond the external, look beyond everything that is going on around me. I want depth into you. You are a youth here, you are single. Can you raise up your hand and say, I want more of you? Lift up voice and sing. I want more of you. Shout it at the top of your voice. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you. Lift up your hand and say it again. I want more.
I want more of you.
Receive that more. Lord, give me more.
I want more of you. Jesus.
The more I know you. Sing it at the top of your voice. The more I want. Close your eyes and talk to your Father. Close your eyes and see him on the throne talking to him.
A bit.
Oh.